Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians. We're continuing in our series on the God of. Last week we did the God of hope, which is based on a well-founded belief in a future good. And really that hope is the hope of eternal life and everything that would make eternal life something that would be profitable and something that would be greatly desired. Now I want to get into the God of all comfort. And we're here in 2 Corinthians. The Corinthian church had a lot of problems. There was a lot of division, a lot of strife. There was wrong practices when it came to the manifestations, problems with walking in the love of God and some of these things, particularly in a lack of maturity among the believers. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he talks about how he came to them not with excellency of speech declaring the mysteries of God, but he had to talk to them as immature ones, as carnal ones. So there's a lot of problems going on in Corinthians, and here in 2 Corinthians comes the great solutions to it. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul's is setting forth his ministry. His ministry is one of an apostle, one who brings new light. And it's by the will of God. It wasn't Paul's decision. It was God's decision. And Paul's just walking out on the ministry. And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all of Achaia. So it's this whole area of Achaia, Greece, that whole area there. And he says to them, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of all this division, in the midst of all of this strife, in the midst of actually two reproof epistles, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he says to them, grace and peace. Isn't that beautiful? Peace, the result of forgiveness enjoyed from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous comfort he's bringing to them. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Isn't that beautiful? The word comfort is the same word as the word consolation. It's the Greek word parakalesis or parakalesis. Para meaning to alongside, and kalesis means to call or to summon. And the purpose they are being called or summoned is to the end that he can give them comfort, that he can exhort them to a more worthy endeavor. But this comfort is based on him being the Father of mercies. Look at this, verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the Father of mercies, and the God, the source, the originator, the initiator, the fountainhead of supply of all comfort. Isn't that beautiful? Boy, it's just tremendous when you look at this. But it's based on him being the Father of mercies or the Father of compassion. The word for mercies here is not the normal word for mercy. It carries with it a very deep tenderness or an affectionate kindness of a heartfelt compassion. Why? Because we live in a hurtful world. We live in a sinful world. It's a hurtful world. You know, there's so much sarcasm, so much criticism, cynicism, and harshness. Who hasn't had enough of all of that? And then you have this dissension and divisions within the church, and there's lots of arguments going on, and name-calling, and all of this, and that, and the other thing, and competitions for the different divisions. But he is the Father of mercies. He is the Father of mercies, of this tender compassion, this heartfelt compassion, an affectionate kindness. You know, I remember a number of years ago, I had hurt my back, and I was there in bed, and I was in a lot of pain, and someone who was a nurse came to visit and take care of me, and, you know, her whole way she functioned as a nurse, her bedside manner, you know, she would just stroke my forehead and, you know, pat my hand, and she did, her whole attitude toward me and the whole way that she sought to take care of me, sort of empathizing with my pain and empathizing with my hurt and my condition, you know, my miserable condition, just the way she functioned did more for me than even the medicine, or as actually I think it gave an energizing of the medications that I was taking to make me as comfortable as she possibly could. You know, just, you know, just patting the pillow, you know, everything was just smooth and very, very light so that she wouldn't disturb my body or cause me to, you know, twitch or something that would cause me more pain. She just so took care of me in such a loving manner, in her bedside manner, so very tender. That's it. He's the Father. He's the Father of mercies. And like a father would have pity on their child. You know, often for you as a parent, something happens with your children, you almost wish it would have happened to you rather than them. You would rather bear the hurt. You would rather bear the suffering. You know, for instance, you come home one day and your child's laying across her bed and she's crying. Maybe, you know, someone called her a name or something like that, or made fun of her at school or him at school and hurt their feelings, and that kind of thing. And there's that suffering there because they're in situations where they're not quite mature enough to handle the things that come at them. You know, like, for instance, younger people, you know, our teens, younger teens, where they're just getting into relationships and, you know, something happened, you know, maybe a boy, you know, acted nicely toward her. And so she was sort of infatuated with this boy. And of course, he doesn't know how to handle relationships and sees another girl. And, you know, he's right away neglects her and runs over to this other girl. And so she feels hurt and that kind of thing. I mean, he's not, you know, particularly deliberately trying to hurt her. He just doesn't know how to handle relationships yet because he hasn't really reached that maturity, and neither has she, to handle the relationship. So she's, you know, she's just there hurt and all of that. You know, the world's screwed up, and perhaps they're not prepared for it, not mature enough. Well, that's kind of where the Corinthian church was. They weren't quite mature enough to start handling relationships with the greatness of the love of God, handling the responsibilities within the church to keep things proper and keep things right without going into great legalism and things like that. So the Corinthian church, they haven't reached maturity as a church. And so here is God, and he feels for them. You know, they have these problems. They've been hurt. These things have come up. And you could read 1 and 2 Corinthians and see some of the situations that they had to deal with. But, you know, like it says in Psalms, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust because he's the Father of mercies. And here the church is hurt and in disarray, and he's kind of sends Paul there as an apostle and as a minister to kind of nurse the Corinthians through their pain and through their suffering. You know, and it's something that can happen to any church. All churches start out immaturely, so you always have people that are not quite at the level of maturity that, and have developed themselves, so it can happen anywhere. And so they're hurt. And, they haven't reached a maturity where they can deal honestly with situations or appropriately with different situations, perhaps even in the situations they were embarrassed, people from the outside are pointing at them and calling them names and this, that, and the other thing. Maybe there's divisions within the body of believers, and this group is pointing at that group, and that group is pointing at that group, and all of these problems. And they don't quite know how to handle it, but for someone like your teenage daughter crying over a relationship, or some boy didn't do anything, for us it's not a big deal, but to them it's the end of the world. So here you have the Corinthian church, and in a lot of ways to them it's the end of the world. I mean, their people have quit the fellowship. They're no longer going because of problems within the church body. And like I say, there's people calling each other names and pointing fingers and arguments, and it's his fault and it's that fault. And in the midst of all of this division and everything, even Paul was being attacked. But, God sends him as a wonderful minister and as an apostle to help them. We live in a sinful world and people are getting hurt. And, it doesn't even have to be your fault. It's kind of like a food fight. You may be sitting there totally innocent, but you wind up getting spattered along with everybody else. At times, you're going to be wronged. And it's not fair. But that's the way of the world. And we're in this world. We're not of it, but we're in this world. But he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Isn't that beautiful? The God of all comfort. Then in verse 4, the God of all comfort. The word... the word is in the sense of perfection. My brother's memorial, I do want to handle this comfort a little bit because it's a perfect comfort. He's the God of all comfort, and it is a perfect comfort. I handled my brother's memorial last week, and I taught on the hope. But I wanted to show you this in 1 Thessalonians, because when God comforts, it is absolutely perfect. And his comfort, his encouragement will always be perfect. It will always minister exactly to the heart. That's why Paul was there with his ministry to assist the Corinthians through this deeply troubling time for them. And this time where they didn't have the maturity, so it's not always easy to teach them to get out of it. But, sometimes you just have to sit there and sort of, stroke their forehead and kind of puff their pillow up and nurse them through it. But it'll be perfect. And I was thinking, when I was handling my brother's memorial service in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15, it says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or caught away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord or like the Lord." Then it says, verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We've tried every other kind of words. I was thinking at my brother's service, they tried to comfort each other with every other kind of word. He's up there now, and he's with Jesus. We should just party and rejoice. He's with Jesus, or that, trying to comfort one another. And although he was hit by a car and killed instantly, he's there with Jesus and everything's okay. Well, we've tried all these other kinds of words to bring comfort. Why don't we go back and let the word bring the comfort? See, what was happening there was to bring the comfort of God's word to the Corinthians. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. He wanted to bring comfort to them. He wanted to encourage them to a more worthy endeavor. And these were the perfect words to encourage them to a more worthy endeavor. Now, the other thing, when we read he's the Father of mercies, in the biblical culture and including the culture in Corinth, the parents would start a business. And then they would endeavor to raise their children in that business so that they could then take over the business. You wanted your children to be the heir, of the business, take over the business. So, here it is, the Father of mercies, and we're his children. And he wants us to get to the place where we're able to be about our Father's business. And Paul's there as a wonderful minister. And I love this because if you read through Corinthians, he doesn't want to take over their business. For instance, you get a McDonald's franchise. McDonald's will, the corporation will send people in there to help you get started in the business, to help you, learn the processes of the business because they already have a successful business plan and they're there to assist you so that you can succeed. They don't want to take over your business. It's your business. They don't want to take over your franchise. They want it to be your franchise, but they want it to be a successful franchise. And so they're there. Paul didn't want to take over the Corinthians, start telling them how to run their lives and you need to do this and those need to do. He just wanted to be there to be able to comfort them with the same word that would make them successful in their franchise of God and sons, so to speak. And that's what he's there for. So that's kind of the framing we should have when we're looking at Corinthians. By the way, I did want to also mention in teaching on the God of hope, a well-founded belief in a future good, part of that, which I didn't cover in my teaching last week, is that God is a requiter in full. And if you don't have that teaching, God the Requiter in Full, contact me, email me, and I'll send you a copy. Of course, we already have it on our website. You can go to www.myinternetchapel.com and listen to it there. But now to get back to the church in Corinth, again, there were a lot of innocent people that were hurt. And like I said, it's like a food fight. Everybody gets spattered. And they were not mature enough, so these divisions arose. But God wants them to be successful in the business of God and sons, winning people to the Lord. Then you have people trying to figure out their solution on how they're going to heal the situation. So you have a group that thinks we need to set up certain rules and regulations. So you get a group of legalists. Then you have another group that say, look, anything should go. We're under grace. So you have these ultra grace people. Other people are just injured by the gossip that went on and quit the fellowship and weren't mature enough to deal with it. And of course, the adversary then takes full advantage to just tear the ministry apart and tear everything apart. So God, who is the God of mercies, he's the, excuse me, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, sends Paul to back to comfort them and to bring it together because they're going to be brought back together by the comfort that God gives. And, comfort one another by these words is where he wants to really get to it. So it says back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all encouragement, who comforted us in all our tribulation, all of our problems, all of our pressures, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul had been through a lot of these pressures and a lot of these problems, and he got comfort from God. He was comforted by those words that God had, and he saw that that comfort would comfort anybody in any kind of trouble. So, and at God's direction, he's there now to try and help the Corinthians. You see it? And remember, Paul suffered a lot of accusations and attacks also. It's Bush's fault or something like that anyways. But, you know, it's everybody else's fault but theirs and so on and so forth. But, you know, God so lovingly wants to comfort them because he is a God of love and peace. Look at, let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. In 2 Corinthians 13, God's whole motivation starts in love. Remember, love is the beginning of all Christian endeavor, including comfort. See? And it has to start there with an unconditional love. Unconditionally. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love," the God of love, he is the God of love, he is the source of it, he is the fountainhead, he is the initiator of it. Look at how beautifully, he's the initiator, he sent Paul. Because he loved the Corinthian church, and he wants to raise them up. He wants to get them up to the level of maturity and wants to nurse them through their hurts and through their pains. And so he sends Paul. Isn't that beautiful? Just a tremendous thing there. Remember, they had a lot of attack. And again, it was directed at Paul. He received a lot of abuse, a lot of slander, a lot of criticism, even though it was the Corinthians themselves from where the troubles arose to afflict them. And, you know, many of them suffered the sting of the sin and the stigma of their error. But in the heart and in the heart of the heat of the pressures of anger, it boils over to divisions. It boils over to where you start getting wrong doctrines. You have malicious practices and things that are in error that are being practiced. And of course, there's open wounds and they lack the maturity. Remember, he just couldn't speak to them as to mature believers, ones needing meat, but as to those needing milk. And so, you know, then you have a group of people, just like, you know, with a child. Your child gets hurt doing something, maybe in a relationship, and then they say, "Well, I'll never get into another relationship. I'll never do that again." And you say, "Now, wait a minute, you know, honey, you'll understand it, and relationships are a beautiful thing, and you will learn. Don't rule that out of your life. Don't cut that out." But, you know, you had the Corinthian people that stopped speaking in tongues, stopped operating manifestations, stopped seeking to excel, stopped walking in love, and stopped fellowshipping with the believers because of the sting and the lack of maturity there. So, you know, he sends Paul, and it's to say, "Look, let's not be rash. Let's just settle down. I understand. It'll all work out. Let's just settle down." and so, you know, it says in verse 11 of 13, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. He is the God of it. He's the source, the supply, the fountain, the originator. He's the comfort. But, you know, the situations that went on there began to attack even people's confidence in the things that Paul taught. Like, it tells us they had problems with the manifestations. They had problems with carrying out the communion and what the communion was supposed to represent, and that it wasn't, you know, a big feast and eating the Lord's Supper and all of that. And so God says, look, he's the God of, Paul says, look, he's the God of love, and he is the God of peace. The God of peace is the result of forgiveness enjoyed. Peace, the result of forgiveness enjoyed. To be treated as if you're innocent. So God considers and treats you as if you are innocent. And peace is the end of strife. Remember, he is the God of love. He is the God of peace. He is the God of hope. He is the God of comfort. He's the originator. He's the source. He's the fountainhead. He is the supply. And so you will never run out of peace from God. There will never be a situation where God will not offer peace to you, where he will not offer you the results of forgiveness enjoyed, because there is always forgiveness there. There is only one unforgivable sin. The believers in Corinth did not have the maturity yet to realize that there is only one unforgivable sin. And so they weren't enjoying the peace that they could have as a result of forgiveness enjoyed. And so Paul is there trying to get it reorganized, get it reset, and get the people back on track, growing again in the comfort and the beauty that God was offering to them. Because he is the God of all comfort, and he is the God of love and the God of peace. Well, again, in verse 11, it says, finally, brethren, farewell. The words farewell really mean rejoice. You know, get back to the joy that you once had, the joy that you once enjoyed among the fellowship of believers. There is forgiveness there. God has forgiven you. He will treat you as if you are innocent. And all of these situations can be resolved. Your hearts can be comforted, and you can be about our Father's business, growing in the franchise of God and sons. Remember, the next thing it says is verse 11, farewell, be perfect. And the word perfect here means to mend, like you would mend a broken net. You know, fishermen, it talks about the fishermen were out mending their nets. It's the same word. We are to be fishers of men. And we are to continue in the franchise of God and Son. So we need to get mended back together. He wanted them to be able to catch and convert men. He wanted them to be able to win men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells them, farewell, or rejoice, be perfect. Allow yourself to be mended together again by that wonderful comfort from God, because he is the God of all encouragement. Look at the encouragement they're getting. And he even sends this wonderful man with a ministry there to assist them so that they could be mended back together again, so that they could have that strength together again. Be perfect. So that they could be fishers of men. Be comforted. Be encouraged. Have that comfort and the encouragement it takes to grow up. Allow yourself time to grow up so that we can be about our Father's business. Be of one mind. That means to seek the same objective. Be of one mind. Seek the same objective. Let us seek the same objective as God and sons. Not where I'm trying to tell you how to run your business and so-and-so is trying to tell so-and-so how to run their business and run their life. No, you have your franchise. We just know there is a profitable method for this franchise of God and sons. And Paul is there to bring them the comfort and the encouragement so that they can be successful as the sons of God in the Father's business, a profitable franchise. And then it says, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Isn't that beautiful? To the end, verse 12, greet one another with an holy kiss. You know, have that tender relationship once again with one another. You've been forgiven. Let's get over the hurts. Let's get over the divisions and move ahead on the things of God. We have His comfort. We have His encouragement. There is comfort. There is peace. And there is love there for you. There is the Father's tender mercies because it's the Father's business and it should be a profitable franchise for us. Let it come from among you. Don't take it out on God and, you know, quit the business because you've been hurt, but allow yourself to heal by the comfort of God because He is the God of all comfort. Well, bless your hearts. We're going to continue in this great series at another point, and next week we'll get into another section of it. I thank you for the opportunity to share this with you. And I'm sure that you'll be blessed and encouraged. God bless you.